which got me into a little bit of trouble.
That's not even funny.
Can't believe we came up with a whole episode, pretty much.
I'd be like, all right, I got 10 minutes. And I'd run to the computer, fucking pull my pants down.
The fire is dying.
I can't even say it. So stupid.
Mr. Dominic!
Welcome to the But You're Wrong podcast. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Padilla.
We now join the But You're Wrong podcast, already in progress.
Stick me in your ears.
Yeah, something like that.
That should be your tagline. Stick us in your ears.
You know what? I've heard a worse.
It's not terrible.
Wait, am I echoing?
No.
No? Okay.
You just sounded like you were a super paranoid, like, high guy, and you're just like, wait, am I echoing?
I'm just, like, wicked high. I'm like, oh my god, am I echoing? Did I just say something really weird? Does everyone think I'm a fucking weirdo?
Do they know am I echoing right now?
Oh, yeah. Am I the only one that's this high? That's the worst. I hate that when you're sitting there, right, and everyone has smoked, like you passed around a bowl or something, and you're sitting there, and you just get, all of a sudden it just hits you, and you're fucking baked, and you're looking around, and everyone else seems to be acting normal, and you're saying shit, and you're just like, oh my god, I'm the only one that's this high, they all think I'm a fucking loser. Hate that. Meanwhile, all the rest of them are just fucking baked out of their minds, and everyone's thinking
the same thing.
And they're all, no one fucking notices that you're being weird because their perception's so fucked up.
What was the thing? There's a movie about a guy that was like, or a part of a movie about a guy that was, in Deconstructing Harry. The Woody Allen.
Okay.
The Woody Allen movie.
Oh, okay.
There's something about a guy that's like always out of focus and he's always blurry.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's kind of.
So you're like, am I echoing? Am I blurry? What's going on?
No, it's kind of like the paranoid high guy. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but this guy was actually out of focus.
When did that come out?
Hang on.
Deconstructing Harry. I don't think I've ever. Oh. Because I know the name. 90s. Okay, I was going to say, it's definitely not in the last, like, 15 years.
Yeah.
That was before I really liked or understood any Woody Allen movies.
I think that was the first one where I was like, interesting.
Yeah. I think my start to liking Woody Allen at all, really, was Annie Hall. And it's still my favorite Woody Allen movie, but also did deal kind of coming back circle, dealing with people being high and their different feelings during being high.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she always wanted to smoke weed.
Yeah.
When they had sex.
And then there's that scene with the cocaine. Where he sneezes.
And he blows it everywhere. Yes.
My favorite scene of that movie is still with Christopher Walken. And he's like,
oh my god. Oh, absolutely.
Sometimes when I'm driving, I think about swerving into oncoming traffic.
and then it just immediately cuts.
Well, the next scene is like, okay, we're going to have, I forget what his fucking character's name is. We're going to have Christopher Walken drive you home.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to him, like, being real awkward. And then it just pans over to Christopher Walken.
And he's just driving, and it's, like, raining, and the wipers are going real quick. Yeah. And it's just, like, this real, like, tense, like, looking scene. And you see Woody Allen's face, and he's just like, oh, my God.
I think my favorite Woody Allen movie might be Midnight in Paris. It's
that
a newer
was pretty one. Recent, right?
It was 2011.
Yeah.
But I've watched that a bit. Let's see what he's done lately. He's working on a TV series, right? Is he working on a TV series for Netflix? Did I make that up?
I did not hear that. He's always working on something, so that wouldn't shock me. Like, he's always got something in the works.
Yeah, he, let's see, Untitled Woody Allen TV series. There's a Wikipedia article called Untitled. Oh, it's for Amazon.
Oh, really? Okay.
Amazon. That's interesting. Amazon Prime, yeah. Let's see. It would star Woody Allen, Elaine May, and Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus.
Yeah. Which you go, but like Woody Allen has made some weird casting choices. And he's known for writing parts specifically for...
weirdos?
Well, for people. Like, he'll write a part for a certain person. And then he's... He writes them a handwritten letter and is like, I think you'd be good for this part.
Well, I mean, plus, you know, at this point, like, if Woody Allen sent me a letter and was like, hey, I listen to the But You're Wrong podcast. I know that seems ridiculous, but I have a part just for you. As much as I think Woody Allen's kind of a creep, I'd be like, yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Fucking movie. Like, it doesn't, you know, like, I have some issues with you personally, sir, but yes, I will obviously be in your film.
Yeah, you've done some weird shit, but you know what?
Yeah, like, I don't necessarily think you're the best human being in the world, but
you're definitely not the worst.
No, you're not the worst. No.
But I like the idea that this is just a long handwritten letter back to
him. And you're writing
Woody
it back to him.
Yeah. Dear
you're
Woody.
Just like, sir, you're not the worst. Yeah. You know.
But I would love to be in your movie. And then he writes you another letter back, like, okay, but could you call me? That's why I included my phone number in the last letter. I don't know why you didn't.
Sir, you're probably maybe a step above Roman Polanski in the bad guy in Hollywood realm. I don't know.
Okay, but Greg, this is my third letter to you. Just call me.
Comparing me to weirdos in Hollywood.
I keep including my my phone numbers. I gave you my wife's phone number. I don't know what you want from me. This is the first time that somebody has written this many letters back to me.
Do you know that most people think Robert Wagner murdered Natalie Wood?
Okay, dear Greg, I did know that, but I don't know why you're still writing me like
he got off scot-free. And to bring it all full circle, Christopher Walken was on the boat at the time. And you've casted him in a film of yours.
Okay, Greg. Well,
so,
unfortunately,
do I still get the part?
Unfortunately, because of mail, and time,
and the fact that the post office,
you literally
shit.
You have to show up tomorrow to get this to work. I don't know.
You better head to the airport now because it's a 6-hour flight.
Yeah, it's not. It's look. It's probably not going to work. But we need you there. If not, we'll just get some guy. It's just a bit part. We just need.
we'll get another fat guy with hairy arms.
Yeah, we just need a big guy with hairy arms and a beard.
Yeah. No, there's not that many of those.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, with a Boston accent, because that's not a popular thing nowadays.
Somewhere in the middle of that, he's just like, do you want to just give me your number? Because I could just call you.
I can just call you.
I don't mind. I have unlimited minutes. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Like, I'll just call you. But yeah, I totally would. Woody Allen documentary that's on Netflix is pretty good. It was like the PBS, what's it called? I want to say it's like American Honors or something.
Yeah, it's got a name like that. It sounds like
PBS,
important.
Woody Allen. American Masters.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, that's basically the same thing.
Yeah, I was very close.
Painfully close.
But yeah, okay, let's run through. Here are some of my favorites here. Blue Jasmine was good. I really like Midnight in Paris. Let's see. Match Point, I don't really remember that well. I want to revisit that.
That was with Jude Law and
Scarlett Johansson.
It was Jude Law, Scarlett Johansson, and Ewan McGregor, right?
Yeah.
No, that was pretty good.
I do like I do like Deconstructing Harry. I haven't seen Manhattan Murder Mystery in a while, but I feel like I like that one.
Yeah.
Which one was Husbands and Wives? I might confuse that with something.
Involved husbands and or wives. I'm sorry. I don't know why I was being douchey about
that. I think I liked Husbands and Wives. Crimes and Misdemeanors was really good. Radio Days I know I saw, and I feel like I liked it. I don't really remember. Hannah and Her Sisters is good.
Yes, yes, I've seen that.
Let's see. Broadway Danny Rose never saw. Z League I never saw. Midsummer Night's Sex Comedy. I don't know if I saw that. Manhattan I really like. Annie Hall I really like. Sleepers, funny. I want to go back to that. See that again.
Sleepers?
Sleeper.
Sleeper. Not Sleepers.
No, not Sleepers. Sleeper.
Yeah. Okay.
Where he gets frozen and then wakes up in the future.
Okay. No, I haven't seen that.
He's done, and he makes like a movie a year.
Oh, yeah. I think the longest he really goes without releasing one is like a year and a half, maybe.
The last year that he did not produce a movie, hang on, or he did not have a movie come out. 96, 95, 94, was in...
Oh, it's got to be like the 90s.
1976.
Are you shitting me? 1976 was the last time he didn't have a movie coming out in a calendar year?
Let's see. 2016, this year, Cafe Society is supposed to be coming out. And the amazing thing is...
Like C-A-F-E?
Yeah, with a little apostrophe over the E.
I wasn't sure if you said cafe or cafe, like Chinese cafe.
Oh, no.
I thought that would be a weird choice.
2015.
Isn't his stepdaughter Chinese?
Oh, that's true.
Or she's Asian, and I might be generalizing.
Let's see. So that's coming out this year. 2015, Irrational Man. 2014, Magic in the Moonlight. 13, Blue Jasmine. 12, To Rome with Love. 11, Midnight in Paris. 10, You Will Meet a Tall Dark Stranger. 09, Whatever Works. 08, Vicky Cristina Barcelona. 07, Cassandra's Dream. 06, Scoop. 05, Match Point. 04, Melinda and Melinda. 03, Anything Else. 02, Hollywood Ending.
You know, it's not until you go through this list, right, and you realize how many you really haven't seen. Because, like, you know, you go through and you'll be like, okay, yeah, I've seen Manhattan. I've seen Annie Hall. I've seen Match Point. And you go through and you're like, okay, yeah, I've seen a decent amount of his movies. But when you go through and you note the fact that he's made a movie a year since sometime in the 70s, it's like, wow, I've seen about, you know, 7% of his movies.
I've seen so far, we're at 2002, I think. I forgot what I said. Melinda Melinda, 2004. 2003 isn't anything else. 2002, Hollywood Ending. Up till there, I've seen a majority of them. 2001, The Curse of the Jade Scorpion, which I think I saw. 2000, Small Time Crooks,
I
know I saw.
Is that the sequel to The Mummy?
No, it's not.
Oh, though that was The Scorpion King.
No, that was Brendan Fraser.
He also directed by him.
Oh, no, I thought the sequel to The Mummy was Brendan Fraser Gets a Second Gun.
What?
Didn't he go from, like, having just one gun, and then they were just like, we're going to give him two guns in the sequel?
Did they?
I thought so.
Like, were they trying to make him kind of like...
Like a John Woo fighting mommy guy.
Oh, yeah, and there was, like, doves flying around and shit.
Yeah,
I think I made up the part about the doves, but...
I think that was one of the sequels. I don't know. I could have entirely just made that up. 99...
I mean, that was the sequel to Mission Impossible.
That was. And then it got good again.
Yeah,
I mean, not that the second one wasn't terrible, but it was.
It didn't make any sense. It became a fucking John Woo action film.
Yeah.
And there was doves, and there was double pistol action, which is cool. Don't get me wrong. I love movies like that, but it just didn't make sense.
There's a part where they're like in an underground bunker, and he blows the door open.
Mm.
And like the bad guy's in the room, and he like walks by, there's fire. Doves fly through the fire for some reason. But then Tom Cruise doesn't, what's his actual character? Ethan Hunt.
Ethan Hunt.
Doesn't actually kill and like shoot the bad guy, because he could right there. Like he's walking, and he could just like shoot the guy. But he doesn't, he just walks by just to like be a dick about it.
It's just right, and it doesn't make any sense, because it's like, that's not the character. He's a secret agent. You would just shoot him in the fucking face if you had the chance.
Yeah, like it would just be. Yeah, that's all you need to do.
All right, whatever. You know, okay. We're starting to lament the shittiness of Mission Impossible 2. It's obviously we can't let things go.
What did I say the year was? 76?
The last time he didn't make a movie?
Yeah, I'm looking at it again.
It was in the 70s.
Because I don't want to read the whole thing. 99, 98, 97, 96, 95, 94, 93, 92. 92 was Husband and Wives. 90. It might have been 81, actually.
Okay.
I was looking at writer.
Oh, okay.
He wrote a short in 81. He wrote something in 81, but he did not direct it.
Oh, okay.
So the last time that he did not direct a movie
was 35 years ago.
Was in 1981.
That's ridiculous.
And he still writes everything on a typewriter.
Does he really?
Yeah. If you watch the American Masters or American Honors, whatever the fuck it's called, documentary. He's like, the same typewriter that he's had forever. And he's like, no, I still do it. And then they're like, what if you have to copy and paste? And he's like, well, then I take these scissors out of this drawer and I cut it and I staple it. And that's what I do.
Wow. That's pretty wild.
Yeah. Like, he's like, everything I've ever written, I've written on this typewriter that he, that he got in like 1947 or something like that. Like when
Jesus
he was a teenager.
Christ. I mean, I guess if it's not broke, don't fix it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously he's being stubborn, but at the same time, it's like, you've been wildly successful doing what you're doing, so just keep doing it.
It's probably one of those things where it's like, I've always written on this, like, if I try to change, then I might lose that, like, that energy that I have.
I mean, exactly. He's a baseball player who goes up to home plate and taps each of his cleats twice with the bat before he stands in the box. And he says, oh, well, you know, I've been doing this so far. Why don't I keep doing it? Well, you know what? I really don't have any reason why not to keep doing it.
Yeah.
So just go ahead.
Let's see. Can I read you some of the trademarks on IMDb? Because there's one in particular I want to get to.
Trademarks. Trademarks like,
of
Woody
him?
Allen
yeah,
films?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's see. Frequently plays a neurotic New Yorker.
Jew.
Yeah. a lot of his movies feature at least one character who is a writer. This is often Woody himself. Very true.
Mm-hmm.
Nearly all of his films start and end with white-on-black credits. Set is the Windsor typeface. Set jazz music without any scrolling.
Okay.
Films his dialogue using long, medium-range shots instead of the typical intercut close-ups.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
His films are almost all set in New York City. That hasn't been true for a long time.
Let's say that was true up until maybe 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I feel like most of them lately have not been. They all were 70s, 80s, 90s. I think they all were.
Let's see. Small Time Crooks, I think, was. I think The Curse of the Jade Scorpion wasn't. I'm not even sure about Deconstructing Harry, actually, but I feel like he really made a switch somewhere in there. Scoop, I know, wasn't. I don't know about Cassandra's Dream, Vicky Cristina Barcelona. I don't know about Whatever Works. Tall Dark Stranger wasn't. Midnight in Paris wasn't. To Rome with Love wasn't. Blue Jasmine wasn't. Magic in the Moonlight wasn't. I don't think A Rational Man was.
Maybe he... Oh.
He's just kind of moved on, which is fine. But anyway. Yeah. His thick black glasses, the same type since 1960s.
Yeah, well...
Let's see. From Sleeper until Cassandra's Dream, almost never has his movies scored, preferring to use selections from his vast personal record collection.
Uh-huh. That's kind of cool.
That is very cool.
You still have to pay for the rights.
But... billing his actors alphabetically on opening credits. That's cool. Where he's just like, I'm going to make you guys all alphabetical.
Yeah, rather than, like, giving one person more credit over the other.
This is weird. His female characters are often free-spirited but naive and often come from small-town backgrounds. I feel like that's not quite true anymore, but maybe.
Yeah, okay.
This is the one that sparked my curiosity about what the other ones were. It just says Brooklyn accent.
Brooklyn accent.
Yes, that is his trademark.
Is his Brooklyn accent. I mean, you could just put you could just say real Jewy.
Yeah. You could. stumbling. Well, you could put the two together. Stumbling and nervous delivery.
Yeah, well, stumbling, nervous delivery, neurotic, Jewish accent. Like, just real, like, Jewish New Yorker.
His unchanging nebbish persona.
Nebbish. I am usually very good with vocab, but
I'm assuming nebbish. That means Jew.
Jewy.
A person, the guy adding that to IMDb was just like, it means Jew.
Jew.
A person, especially a man who is regarded as pitifully ineffectual, timid, or submissive. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Fair enough. Definitely true.
Short stature. And reddish hair.
I mean, that's not, like, something you write in. Like, they're, like, describing him.
There's some weird shit on here. Trivia. Speaks French.
Okay.
Born at 10:55 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Is that really on the trivia?
That is really on the trivia.
You know, Keith, I was born at 8 a.m., on a Saturday. How about that? Isn't that real interesting?
Wow, that's
yeah. I mean,
I'm gonna win a bar trivia game with that shit.
Doesn't your opinion of me completely change?
Legally changed his name to Haywood Allen. Goes by Woody in honor of Woody Herman.
Okay.
Was voted the 19th greatest director of all time by Entertainment Weekly. Because they matter.
Yeah, right.
This one I find weird. I don't know if this might not be true, but I don't know. Ranked number 4 in Comedy Central's 100 Greatest Stand-Up Comedians of All Time.
What? Number 4?
Yeah, that doesn't... Like, if you watch his thing, his documentary, you're like, okay... But let's see who's.
I mean,
you're like he's funny, but he's definitely a better writer.
Well, so that's the thing. It's like you can take into account like the you know like outside of just their stand up. So you can be like, okay, Woody Allen, yeah, he's done all this other stuff like beyond just his stand up. It's the same way like if you want to be like who's the most successful stand up comedian ever? Okay, the most successful stand up comedian ever is Jerry Seinfeld. Is it because of his stand up? No, it's because of Seinfeld. You know.
Yeah.
So it's like how are you necessarily judging that? Like Seinfeld's stand-up is funny, but it's nowhere near as funny as the show. So it's like, is he really the best stand-up comedian ever? Probably not. Although you could argue he's the most successful.
They're not going by success.
I guess. No, I don't know. It's just like, how are you judging this?
Well,
like,
I know they're not going by success for this reason. Number one is Richard Pryor.
Okay.
Number two is George Carlin.
Okay.
Number three is Lenny Bruce.
No, I mean, no. We're obviously not going by success because Seinfeld would be number one.
Right, because after Woody Allen's four, Chris Rock is five. If you're going by success, I think Chris Rock would probably be, like, third. Steve Martin is six.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm both successful and funny.
Rodney Dangerfield is seven.
Okay, yeah.
We got Bill Cosby at eight. Roseanne Barr at nine.
Yeah.
We got Eddie Murphy at 10.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Seinfeld's on the top 10, you're obviously not, like, you know,
basing it on success necessarily.
No, obviously not.
I mean, it's hard to rank, but I don't understand why Roseanne is not. Here's the thing. Let's see. Comedy Central 100 best stand-up comedians. These funny people have the best stand-up routines ever. For the full article, go to this. But I don't really want to go. The thing is, above each one, it says number this on the original list. So it's real weird because 32. Lenny Bruce was 32 on the original list. Woody Allen was 80. Let's see. Roseanne was 138 on the original list.
Uh-huh.
I feel like they bumped her up because she was the most prominent woman.
Yeah. Exactly. They were like, "Well, we need like for groundbreaking purposes alone." Yeah. You know, they give her points, which, you know, I get.
Yeah. Seinfeld was 9 on the original list. Now he's 12, right after Johnny Carson. 13 is Robin Williams, who was number 2 on the original list.
Robin Williams was the number 2 greatest stand-up ever?
On the original list, yeah. On the current list, we got then we go Bob Newhart, David Letterman, Ellen DeGeneres, Don Rickles, Jonathan Winters, Bill Hicks, Sam Kinison. Surprised he didn't rank higher.
Ooh, Kinison?
Yeah, because of his influence on everybody.
That's true, but I think a lot of people didn't like him.
That's very true. I think he had a big influence on people today, though.
Oh, no. Totally, totally agree. I think a lot of people just have a kind of a negative opinion of him.
Mm-hmm.
But I like him.
So let's see.
I think he was very influential on today.
Oh, absolutely. Then we go Dennis Miller, Robert Klein, Stephen Wright, Red Fox, Bob Hope. Bob Hope, one of the original people that did basically stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
25 is where he's at.
Ugh, yeah, this list is a little iffy.
Yeah, then we go Ray Romano, Jay Leno, Jack Benny, Milton Berle.
Yeah, okay.
Gary Shandling, George Burns. George Burns doesn't beat out Gary Shandling?
Yeah. I'm sorry, you said it. Where was Rickles?
Rickles was 17.
That's a little too low.
Let's see here. George Burns is at 31. Albert Brooks is at 32. Andy Kaufman, 33.
I mean, just based on influence alone, Kaufman's got to be higher. I mean, even if you don't think Kaufman was that funny. Which I get because some of his stuff I didn't necessarily think was that funny. But influence alone, Kaufman's got to be higher than that.
Oh, yeah. Buddy Hackett. Snacks, Phyllis Diller. Yeah. Jim Carrey. Is 36? I feel like that's way too high for him. Like he's,
yeah, it's too high?
Yeah. Well, like I feel like he should be a higher number.
Oh.
I feel like they're ranking him too
high. He should be ranked.
He should be a lower number.
Yeah, okay. I gotcha.
On the original list, though, he was 20.
Hmm.
Martin Lawrence.
I don't get how did the original list was so different.
Like, I don't know either.
They're not even kind of close. It's not like, okay, we moved this guy up 3 spots. Like, you moved him up like 25 spots.
It's a lot. Because, okay, so we're at Martin Lawrence, Bill Maher, not Bill Maher, Bill Maher, Billy Crystal, Mort Saul, who I kind of know.
Yeah, okay. I remember Mort Saul on, like, some of the old shit that I used to watch with my parents. Like,
here's the thing.
He was on, like, Laughing and
what
shit.
What did he do? Like, what's he known for?
Oh, I don't even know. No, but he was... He was on, like, those old, like, variety shows, wasn't he?
Let's see. Here's a... I'm trying to see if he had, like, a thing that I would be like, oh, that guy.
I mean, I know the name, and I know I've seen him. Yeah. I'm just trying to...
Let's see. I don't know. He was on the original list was 206. Now he's at 40. He bumped up 100.
What?
He bumped 160 up 160 points? Yeah, 166 points, right? Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
41 is Jon Stewart. 42, Flip Wilson. 43, Dave Chappelle. Joan Rivers is at 44.
Wait, Dave Chappelle was at 43?
Dave Chappelle's at 43. Joan Rivers is at 44.
I don't know how I feel about I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I love Dave Chappelle. Maybe he doesn't deserve to be higher, but I don't know.
Let's see. Richard Lewis is 45. Adam Sandler, Henry Youngman, Tim Allen.
I do have a soft spot for Richard Lewis.
Freddie Prinze? Not Freddie. Is it Freddie Prinze? Is that like Freddie Prinze Jr.?
With a Z?
Yeah, the actor Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah, Freddie Prinze. Yeah.
Yeah, his father guy. Is number 49.
Oh, wow.
Hang on here. I'm getting a message from the booth here. They're saying that this list is bullshit. Dennis Leary is at 50. Here's the thing. I didn't even know that Freddie Prinze was a comedian. I'm going to skip way ahead here. Let's round out the top 10. I'm going to go to 90. I have to mention this. 80... let's see. Okay, they're really cramming in some here. I'm going to go a few ahead. 87, Brett Butler.
Brett Butler. Why is that name familiar? I can't.
Brett Butler was Grace Under Fire.
Okay. All right.
She's at 88. Or I'm sorry, 87. 88, Paula Poundstone.
Paula Poundstone. Why do I know that name?
If you saw her, you'd be like, oh, Paula Poundstone. But just Google Paula Poundstone. Like, I don't know how to explain her besides she's just now become like a talking head and occasionally she'll pop up and they'll be like, oh, Paula Poundstone. All right. Brett Butler was 342 on the original list and bumped up to 87. Paula Poundstone.
This list is ridiculous.
Paula Poundstone is 88, bumped up, or she's 88 now. She was 168. Kevin James is 89. He was 88 on the original list, so he only got knocked back one space. Unlike Dana Carvey, who was 60 on the original list and got bumped up down to 90.
Yeah, Dana Carvey wasn't that funny.
But to fall 30
spots,
what about
Nomai Myers?
I don't know. He might have been in the middle there somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Paul Reiser hits the list at 77. No. who am I looking for? Mike Myers? No, I don't see Mike Myers on here.
Not at all. I'm not saying. Yeah, I'm not a huge Mike Myers fan, but.
I mean,
yeah, I figured he'd make the list.
He's not in the top 100.
Okay, all right. I mean, that's probably fair. But there's a lot of people there that shouldn't be in the top 100 that apparently are.
Yeah, not with the people that are in the top 100. I feel like Mike Myers should have made the list. 91 is Jim Brewer, who's very funny.
I do like Jim Brewer.
92, Louis Anderson.
Louis Anderson.
I'm fat.
Life with Louis.
Let's see. 93, George Wallace.
Okay.
Whatever. Sure. 94, David Alan Greer.
Ugh, no one likes David Alan Greer.
95, Andrew Dice Clay.
You know what? You know what? As much as I dislike him, you know, he kind of needs to be on the list.
Hickory Duck.
He was fairly influential.
He was. I'll give it to him.
I don't like him, but he was fairly influential. I'm not going to say he was very influential, but he was, you know.
Yeah, he was pretty up there. 96. Not known for stand-up comedy. If there was like a comedy writers thing, he should be way up there on the list. Joey Bishop.
Oh, okay.
Member of the Rat Pack, wrote a lot of the jokes for the Rat Pack, wrote a lot of jokes for when Regis Philbin was on TV originally.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forget what Regis did. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
So, very funny, man.
Okay.
97, Sandra Bernhard.
Sandra Bernhard?
Yeah.
Wow.
She creeps okay. in there.
Yeah.
There is no original listing for her, so she might not have made the original list.
Oh, so she got bumped up like 500 spots.
Yeah. Louis C.K. comes in at 98.
98? Louis C.K.?
Guess where he was on the original list.
He wasn't on it.
He was 4.
He went from 4 to 98?
He fell from 4 to 98.
He fell 94 spots.
Apparently
they decided that they redid the list and decided that there were 94 people better than him. I'm by no means going to sit here and tell you that Louis CK is number 1. I love Louis CK and I would put him in my personal top 10. But 98?
Yeah.
That seems a little high to me.
He should be.
High meaning low?
He should be like number 1 on the list of stand-up comedians who really figured it out.
Yeah. I mean, like he should also be number 1 on stand-up comedians for the 2000s.
Well, because sure. He got his show. He has complete creative control over his show.
And it's awesome.
Does whatever he wants. Edits it basically himself, I think, like on his laptop. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Has been releasing, and I haven't watched it yet because you have to pay for it. And like, I don't know. I haven't gotten into it. But he created this. It's not a comedy, really. But he created this TV show with Steve Buscemi randomly in secret and then just started to release it randomly.
I heard about that. Yeah.
Like, he's just figured it out and just like. Became this awesome. Underground successful and then mainstream successful like stand-up comedian. It's amazing.
No, 98, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I mean, you know what, no. you don't have to put them, you know, you don't have to put them like number 5 or anything, but 98, a little stupid.
That's real low. 99, Janine Garofalo.
I don't find her funny whatsoever.
You ready for something that'll really piss you off? Who's the least? Who's the person that you feel should deserve the number 100 spot the least?
Kathy Griffin.
No.
Was that a good choice, though?
That wasn't a bad choice. You want to take another guess?
What was his fucking name?
Okay. You might be on the right track here.
Oh, shit. What was the guy from Boston? Ooh. I mean, a lot of these guys are from Boston because
What was his thing? Did he have a bit?
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. What was his name? He was so big for a while.
Are you thinking of Dane Cook?
Yes.
No.
Okay, good.
No, ooh. Not Dane Cook.
I was trying to think of someone douchey.
Less deserving than Dane Cook.
Less.
I'm gonna say less deserving than Dane Cook.
Is he from Boston? Was I on the right track?
No, I don't think he is.
Okay. Less deserving than Dane Cook.
At least in my opinion, and I think you'll agree.
I'm assuming we have pretty similar tastes in comedy.
Let's see. He is originally from North Carolina.
Oh, Mr. Fucking, you might be a redneck.
Nope, not Jeff Foxworthy. He ranked a little bit higher, I believe.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to say this. As much as I'm not like a fan of Jeff Foxworthy, he does deserve to be higher than that, so that's okay. I mean, because he is influential. Whether you like it or not, he is.
This guy has been, although like Jeff Foxworthy, this guy has been reduced down to a single bit, and that is all that he is known for.
Larry the Cable Guy?
No, less developed than that.
Less developed than Larry the Cable Guy?
Yes.
Who is it?
There was a man that would smash fruit on a stage.
Oh,
and he called it the Sledge-O-Matic.
Jesus Christ. You're right. That is less developed than Larry the Cable Guy. Larry the Cable Guy is almost advanced compared to that. Ooh.
Like, I feel like Larry the Cable Guy at least has some kind of a backstory. Gallagher just fucked with fruit all the fucking time.
Oh, why? Gallagher. Honestly, I totally forgot that he even, like, did comedy. Like, I forgot that he told jokes in between.
It was supposed to be a comedy act. I don't think Carrot Top made the list either. I don't remember seeing him on there.
Good. Man.
Fucking Gallagher.
Fuck Gallagher.
Fucking Gallagher. So
I got a question for you.
Okay.
In no particular order, who are a couple? And I'm talking like three or four. I'm not, you don't need to like make a top 10 list. Who are your favorite stand-up comedians?
George Carlin.
Mm-hmm.
Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
Louis C.K. Eddie Izzard.
Okay.
And I'm going to say probably Hannibal Buress are kind of the ones that stand out in my mind probably the most.
Okay. No, all good.
In terms of, especially in terms of for their stand-up act.
Yeah. Not even just outside, like how they've expanded their influence.
Louis C.K. for his first stand-up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like I'm not going to say Woody Allen because Woody Allen's influence on me and what I like about him is more his
writing.
His writing and his movies.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Know who else I really love is Gallagher.
Shut the fuck up. Okay. No, those are good. Those are good.
Who would be on your list?
My list would be. I got to put him up there because you know me. One of my favorite forms of comedy is self-deprecation. Mm-hmm. I got to put Rodney Dangerfield up there.
Okay.
I absolutely love Rodney. I love shitting on other people, as you know. Like, I just love making fun of people. But I like to give it to myself, you know, just as bad. So I love his kind of humor. And plus, he's got, like, that, like... old Italian guy persona that's like always just like shit fucking with people. Mm-hmm. So like, I love that. Like, that just speaks to me. Rodney, Seinfeld, of course. I love Louis. I gotta go see him again. I've seen him once. I gotta go see him again. He's hysterical.
I have not seen Louis yet.
You know what? When I saw him, you should. And I mean, I'm not saying, I don't know if he's going to do like the same thing, but because he really like formed, you know, he formed a lot of his career in Boston. So when he came out and he did an encore, he did like 25 minutes on just like stories about like him in Boston. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, it was unbelievable. Just talking about how just stupid like people are and how like just mean people are in Boston. It was great. But I saw him, he played for probably like an hour and a half, and I walked out of there just, I was hurting. Like, my stomach hurt because I was laughing for just an hour and a half straight. It was amazing. Love Chris Rock. Chris Rock will always be one of my favorite comedians because he just fucking tells it like it is. Mm-hmm. He's just very blunt and usually just doesn't care what people say. And you know what? I think he's probably missed out on some commercial opportunities because of that, but I don't think he compromises himself very often. Like, I don't think he's willing to bow down. You know, he's done the Oscars a couple times now, but I feel like he's put his own mark on it.
Yeah. His bit with the Girl Scout cookies was actually really funny, especially because it was true.
He actually sold
Girl Scout cookies at the Oscars. Yeah.
No, I love him. I mean, his if anyone who doesn't know much Chris Rock, you can watch most, I believe, on YouTube. And if you can't, you can torrent it or whatever. Bigger and Blacker and Bring the Pain are his two best specials. They're HBO specials back in the day. And, man, they are so good. I think – I want to say it's Bigger and Blacker is he does his routine about the difference between black people and niggers. And, oh, my God, it is the funniest fucking thing. Because he's just honest, but it's just so good. It's the things, like, that even, like, white people – who like feel like bad about admitting, you know, they think it and he's thinking it too. And he just like kind of puts it in your mouth and like lets you laugh at it. It's great. It's like, I think it's good. It's like good therapy for anyone who just wants to like be like, oh, you know what? Race shit sucks. Like, I hate talking about racism. I hate talking about like all that stuff. It's just great. Chris Rock's fantastic.
Yeah. Somewhere in there, I thought of another one.
Another stand-up.
Bill Burr.
Bill Burr's great. Bill Burr's very good. Yeah.
Bill Burr's another one, like, where he, like Chris Rock, he's very honest.
Yeah. You're right. He is. I like Bill
Burr.
And, you know,
honest.
I don't think I've seen enough of him. I feel like I haven't seen enough of him.
Oh, you know who else? And this guy is he has some of the best one-line jokes. Sadly, no longer with us. Mitch Hedberg.
Mitch Hedberg.
I love Mitch Hedberg.
I'm thinking the name. What?
Let me pull up a Mitch Hedberg joke and I'll play it here so you can. Let me see.
Okay.
What's a good? I'm trying to think of like a. I want like a short clip here. Here, let's just play a little bit of Best of Mitch Hedberg on this YouTube thing.
I like rice. Rice is great when you're hungry and you want 2,000 of something. My mom loves those applause breaks. Refried beans. I like refried beans. That's why I want to try fried beans, because maybe they're just as good and we're wasting time. I went to a pizzeria. Yeah, I ordered a slice of pizza. Kind of the dude gave me the smallest slice possible. If the pizza was a pie chart for what people would do if they found $1 million, this dude gave me the donate to charity slice. I would like to exchange this for the keep it. I tried to walk into Target, but I missed.
Okay. What, this guy's dead?
Yeah, yeah, he died in 05. But he's got, like, it's his comedy is amazing. Like, if you haven't listened to him, go, like, just search him out.
No, I haven't. He sounds great. Like, that, those kind of jokes are, like, right up my alley.
He's phenomenal. They've released, like, an album of just, like, a like stuff that was recorded at one of his random comedy shows. Yeah. And it was titled Do You Believe in Gosh?
Okay.
Because that was just something that was scribbled in his notebook. He's known for being a drug user, and there's a thing in here on Wikipedia that says, he included in one of his jokes, I used to do drugs. I still do, but I used to, too.
I like that. That's good.
He has so many good little jokes in there. It's great. But I think he died from drug overdose, I believe. Oh, no, he was born with a heart defect, for which he received extensive treatment as a child. It was initially speculated that this condition may have played a part in his death, but the New Jersey medical examiner reported multiple drug toxicity in the form of cocaine and heroin as the cause.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it sucks.
He does a really good bit where he's like, you ever go to a restaurant? And you're waiting for a table, and they say, Dufresne, party of three. And nobody answers, so they say, Dufresne, party of three. Still nobody answers, so they say, okay, Bush, party of three. Yeah, but what happened to the Dufresnes?
Yeah, you know what? I've heard that.
They are in someone's trunk right now with duct tape over their mouths.
Yeah,
and they're hungry.
I've heard that.
It's so funny. He's hysterical, and it's such a shame that he is no longer with us.
Yeah, those guys, though, that's the type, though.
Yeah, you have to think on such a different level to come up with shit like that.
And those guys are always fucked up. It's just like a Kennison, you know?
Yeah.
Those guys are always, I mean, so rarely do these guys last a long time. Like, it's rare that those guys have, a good head on their shoulders. Like, to see, like a Dangerfield, right? To live till he's, 80. Like, that's crazy. But, the worst thing Dangerfield ever really did was, I mean, I'm sure he did other drugs sometimes, but, he was a big, he smoked a lot of pot.
Yeah.
But, most of these guys are pretty fucked up, you know? Usually they don't last that long.
Speaking of people not lasting a long time, you are up 2-0 in the Deadpool.
Yes, I am.
Nancy Reagan.
Deceased.
Or Reagan, as some people like to say it.
I don't think anyone says that.
I think I've heard it both ways. Age 94. Died too young. 94 years young.
Yeah, it makes you think.
No longer with us.
Nope.
So you are up 2-0.
I am up 2-0. I've got Nancy and Abe.
I want to point out that we have nine months and 10 days still to go in the year.
Also, and this is maybe a weird way to look at it, but if you think about it, you've still got 10 chances left. I only have 8.
That's true.
So you've got 10 people still that could die in the next 9 months. I don't have as many, but I am up. So I expect you to get at least one or two. Honestly, just in my experience, because I've been doing the Deadpool thing for a while. I've been doing it for a few years. To get more than one in a year is a little difficult because you got to take into account the fact that the people that we're choosing, the people that we're picking, are wealthy. And they're all of them can extend their lives far beyond what the normal person can. So it's like I look at these people and I'm like, oh, well, motherfucker, you know, so-and-so is 94 years old. They got to die. Well, why do they got to die when they got a fucking $1 billion in the bank, you know? It's like they can keep themselves alive for as long as they want to. You know, fucking Magic Johnson can cure himself of AIDS.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, so it's weird. It's like the people that we're picking are playing by different rules. Like I could sit here and be like, hey, dude, my aunt is 96, which she is, my great aunt. And you'd be like, well, I think she's going to die. Well, yeah, she's got a much better chance of dying than some rich person who's 96. But
yeah.
So yeah, I'm up 2-0. And honestly, we're 3.5 months into the year. I can't believe I've already got two.
We've had some what would be good picks. Like, hey. I hate to say it that way, but like, if you had picked them, people would be like, oh, that's a, like, later on, like, let me put it this way. We've had some people where if you had picked them at the beginning of the year, people would have been like, really? But later on, once they have now passed, people would be like, man, that was a good pick.
Yeah.
Like Toronto Senator Rob Ford.
Oh, our mayor, Toronto mayor. What? I was going to bring this up earlier, and we got going on the stand-up comedians. Dude, it's a loss.
Yeah.
I fucking love that guy. I didn't even know he had cancer.
I didn't either. Like, because he stopped going ridiculous and saying crazy shit. Then when he got cancer, there was like a small headline that was like, Rob Ford has cancer. Staying off drugs, and then, you know,
I didn't know, and then I heard today, and I was like, I made a kind of a mean tweet today. I said the biggest tragedy of the day, Rob Ford dying. For those of the listening, the Brussels bombing was also today, but
Gallagher wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot mallet.
He'd slam a fucking watermelon with a mallet. But fucking, I was like, oh, he was. I always wanted him to have a talk show.
Oh, that I always wanted so
like the Rob Ford show, and like, you know, he'd have guests on, be like the Rob Ford invites, you know, whoever. Oh, it'd be so good. He was great. I should have picked him. If I knew he was sick, I might have thought about it.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to think of some of the other. There's been a couple other fairly big ones recently. Who was the guy that died a few days ago? Actor. I feel like it wasn't that long ago.
An actor a couple days ago. Not sure. I feel if you say the name, I'm sure I'll know it. Do you remember anything about him?
I can fucking picture him, but I'm trying to think of what the fuck he was in. He was a dad, I know that.
Wait, as in he...
No, I mean like
kids, or
I mean like he played a dad in a show or something. I feel
like. Okay. I was gonna be like, so he had children like most people.
Yeah, Joe Santos.
Joe Santos.
When did he pass?
Who is he? Oh, I'm gonna look him up. I need a picture of this.
Look up Joe Santos, and you'll be like, "Oh, that fucking guy."
Joe Santos.
I don't even see him listed on.
Oh, from the Rockford Files.
Oh, here he is. Okay, yeah, I do see him listed on.
Yeah, some pictures of him recently. He didn't look very good. Okay, yeah. Yeah, okay, I know who you're talking about.
But he was in, like, a bunch of stuff. He was in The Sopranos and Friends of Eddie Coyle, and, like that would have been a good pick to just be like, you know what, that guy.
Yeah, how old was he, though?
84. 84 years young. Taken from us too soon. Loved life.
He loved to laugh.
Yes, he'd never been the same since Mr. Garner passed. It was very sad indeed.
This is such a shame.
Such a shame. I want to mention... Okay, this is very topical and it's going to die out, so let's just mention it now. Okay. Moving on from death. I know how much you like Bruce Springsteen.
I don't hate Bruce Springsteen.
I know you don't hate him, but you don't really like him either.
I'm not crazy about Springsteen. What it is? I'm not crazy about him because of the people who are crazy about him.
What are your thoughts on the fact that he wrote a kid a note to be late to school the next day?
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. No, you know what? That's cool. That's pretty
cool. You good with that?
No, I'm okay with that. I mean, okay. I heard that story. No, that's fine. No, I don't dislike Bruce Springsteen, but people get really crazy about Springsteen. Like, really crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people get more crazy about Springsteen than I feel like some people get about the Beatles. And I'm like, that is a little much.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I think it's probably about the same. I think people get as crazy about Springsteen as people got about the Beatles.
Okay.
Current time. Like, okay. for their current time.
All right. So you're saying people nowadays, and we'll just say, or in recent times, get as crazy about as people used to get about the Beatles.
Yes.
That might be fair. I just, I don't know.
Really don't like the whole, like, I'm a working man and I wear blue jeans.
I don't like the whole thing. I just don't like the whole, like, I feel like he puts on this fake persona and people just eat it up with a fucking spoon. I don't know. People get really crazy about it. You know what? Maybe it's because I just don't get it. I don't know. He's not a fucking working man from New Jersey, okay?
He might be
from New Jersey, but he ain't a fucking working man.
Here's my new goal in life. I want this podcast to become so huge that we actually start getting celebrity guests. I want to interview Bruce Springsteen with you and have you be like, he was a really nice guy.
He does seem like a working man. Listen, I've got Springsteen vinyls. I like his music. I'm not into the whole
don't like the hype.
The cult of personality around Bruce Springsteen.
You don't like the hype. How do you feel about this information that he was really cool and wrote this kid a tardy note? You like it?
That's fine.
Here's my thing though. He also wrote a song we believe to be about anal sex.
Dude, that's
true. Should a 9-year-old be listening to that? I don't know. Who am I to say?
I think that's up to the parents.
You know he performed Secret Garden. I mean, it's a Bruce Springsteen staple.
He did when I saw him.
He has to sing Secret Garden, Glory Days, Born in the USA, Born to Run, The Rising, Post 9/11.
Yeah. The Rising. He wrote a fucking 9/11 song. What a fucking sellout.
Yeah, how dare he write a song? He probably sang Dancing in the Dark. Thunder Road, I'm sure he sang.
The River.
Yeah, probably sang The River.
Come on, yeah.
No Surrender, I'm sure.
Blinded by the Light.
Yeah, Rosalita.
Yeah. And you know what? I'll give him this, right? He goes on and he plays a fucking set.
I mean, he does.
That dude, he plays for like 3+ hours.
It said it was 3.5 hours.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, I give him credit. You know, he puts on a show and he does it. He doesn't have to do that. But he does. I give him credit. Yeah, I just,
because he's a working man. That's what he does. They go in there. They do. They do more than they need to. That's what a working man does, Greg. Yeah, when you're working in the factory and you got to work a little OT.
You know what? Go to hell. Go to hell.
That's it for But You're Wrong. I'm Keith Bordella.
I'm Greg DiNicola.
Remember everyone, and sorry, I had a couple thoughts there. Okay, remember everyone, no regrets, and if Gallagher makes your top 100 stand-up comedians, please unsubscribe. Hey everyone, Keith Bordella here with a special thank you for taking the time out of your day, or, you know, maybe just sticking us in your ears to fill the void while you're washing dishes or driving in the car or whatever you may be doing right now, to listen to this episode of this podcast on the But You're Wrong Network. Be sure to check out all the other shows that we have to offer. There's the original, or as some uncool, myself included, people call it, the OG. But You're Wrong, starring myself and Greg DiNicola. There is Living Room Theater, which has been on a brief hiatus, but should be coming back shortly with myself and my lovely wife, Rachel. There is the documentary show with John Oldfield and myself. There's a show that I'm not necessarily going to take claim for, but it's called Fortune Cookie Minute. That is on the network as well. There is some excellent stuff coming up, too. Something planned much later in the year, because it's going to take some time to put together for everyone, but right around the corner we should have a show that won't feature me. This Blows My Mind, starring John Oldfield. Be sure to check all those out and support us on iTunes with a subscribe and a review. 5 stars if you could, please. Go to theactualkeith.com for everything on the But You're Wrong Network. Stick us in your ears.